Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass. And Vanderbilt baseball up and running for this season and had a couple of games this week. They have a series against Gonzaga at the Hawk this weekend. And we say hello to Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt baseball coach, who's on the line with us. Coach, good to talk to you. It's been a minute. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Good to talk to you guys.
Yeah. So early on in the season, you know, obviously kind of getting into a rhythm with things. What's some quick takeaways of what you've seen from your club so far in the early portion of the season?
Well, I think we still have a lot of unanswered questions just because of our roster. We've got a lot of guys that we feel like can help us or have similar abilities. So it's trying to find the right guys in the right spots. We're trying to put our rotation together as well, which I think we'll come closer to this week with Carter Holton starting on Friday and then falling back to Bryce Cunningham and Devin Futrell. So they've all pitched for us in the past, which will kind of be a good thing. And then, you know, the 5-game weeks present a challenge just from the extension of your pitching and the innings and trying to find guys that can get on the field. This is a deep freshman class, so it's trying to insert them at proper times so they can learn. But at the same time, we've got some older kids who can help us as well. So there's a balance. So still learning quite a bit. I mean, the record says 3-2, but, you know, I don't even look at the record right now as much as we look at, okay, what areas do we need to grow in right now? And you don't really know that until you play an opponent. And at the same time, when you play an opponent, you don't know what level they are or what level you are. So there's still a long way to go, which is very encouraging.
So the something I wanted to ask you, you know, you opened the season with a 3-game series against Florida Atlantic. And when you play a series against a team, you can learn tendencies. They can learn your tendencies, those things over the course of the series. But then you have a couple of just single games against Dayton and Eastern Kentucky. What's the challenge of playing a team once as opposed to a 3-game series? And how can that benefit your team in having to adjust more on the fly when they don't have a full series to really learn what a team can do?
Well, I think it's good in a lot of ways because you can't really focus too much on the opponent. So you can become more self-centered, really, in terms of your growth. And, you know, I think for us, and I say this just conservatively, but, you know, anyone who comes into this ballpark is looking at Vanderbilt and our baseball program as an opportunity to, you know, beat us and post a good win. And I think we get everyone's best bullet. You know, there's a lot of resistance when we're playing Dayton. There's a lot of resistance when we played Florida Atlantic. I mean, those two teams in particular, and even last night in Eastern Kentucky, all those teams showed the ability to come back towards the end of the game. And when you're playing for your baseball life, so to speak, in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, it creates resistance within the game, whether you're a defensive player and whether you're a pitcher. And that's only going to help you. And you just can't ever drop your gloves. You know, you got to keep your gloves up all the time. And you take the name and you can scrap it. You know, it's a white uniform, black uniform, however you want to perceive it. But there's no name on it because everyone's really good. And I mean that. There's a lot of good players. College baseball's never been in a situation where you look across the country and you've got 200-plus teams that have a lot of good players. It could be playing in the SEC or somewhere else. They just happen to be on other teams. But what it does is it forces you to get to your level because, as we've seen, you can get knocked back really quick Tuesday night at a 5-1 lead, and then we imploded in one inning, and next thing you know, we're walking off the field and the other team's celebrating. So those things can happen.
We're talking to Vanderbilt head baseball coach Tim Corbin. Coach, it's so good to talk to you again and hear your voice. You talk about having
a deep
freshman class, but these guys know it, right? They know that the target is on y'all's back because of the success that you've had, you know, in the 10, 15, 20 years. Does it take a while for them to understand that, or should they know that going in?
Well, I guess you would think they should know that going in, but they really know it when there's a party on the other side of the field after the game's over. They understand what it feels like because it's real. I mean, and I think it's very real when teams come in here. I mean, they're very prepared. They're everyone's trying to play their best, and you know, if we're playing local teams, you're facing a lot of kids that weren't in our camps that said, I'm going to show you why you made a mistake and didn't recruit me. So there's, you know, there's a lot of that. And then, of course, in the SEC. So, yeah, I think when you've had a consistent program for a long period of time, it's, you know, there's times where you have to reinvent yourself. But at the same time, we're another chapter in this big book of Vanderbilt baseball. And that chapter always has some importance on what's going to happen in the future. So, that's we speak about that a lot. But at the same time, it's very visual once you start to get into action.
I think you had a great quote years ago when somebody asked you about losing players to the major leagues and guys who signed out of high school. And you said, if I remember correctly, I'm paraphrasing, I wish them all the success in the world, but I'm only focused on who's here. And I guess that's kind of the way you got to coach. It's like, you can't worry about who didn't come, who didn't show up, who went to another program. You got to take care of what's in your own dugout, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to turn quick. And I mean, sometimes that can be disappointing when you have a player that you felt that you were going to keep. I remember there's been a lot of them, but even a guy like Anthony Volpe, who's the shortstop of the Yankees. I mean, this was a kid who was so dead set on coming to Vanderbilt, academic kid, parents, you know, wanted nothing but college. And then his hometown team that they had season tickets for 20 years decided to take him in the first round and he was gone. And I love Anthony. He's a wonderful kid, but you have to remove your emotions immediately once that happens. Say, okay, it's on to the next player because you can't do anything about that. And it's kind of the uncontrollables of life. You don't have control of the draft. You don't have control of people's decision-making skills. So it's all about what you have here. And I think, you know, if you're going to fish in that pool of good players, sometimes you've got to throw them back. And that's what we have to do. But at the same time, we've got to take care of the ones that are here and develop the ones that are here, and that's most important.
Talking to Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt baseball coach. Now, did I see, I think it was last week, that Dansby came by and was hanging out with you guys?
He was. He was here for a wedding, and so he came back on Friday and Saturday. It was good to have him here. He got down to the field and was talking to some of the kids. Some of the infielders had some questions for him, so that was good. And Dans is he's a philanthropic kid. He gives back in so many different ways. I mean, the fact that, you know, he just shares his number. He's a very simple kid, really. When you think about, you know, his major league life and what he does, he really concentrates on this. And he's got a wife that is rehabilitating, and she's got her own career in soccer. So they have a very active life. But this is a guy who's going to be a dad someday. And I just love what he's about. I love the life that he's created. But I say simple because this is really, he just wants to immerse himself in his team. He loves to win. He loves to get better. He loves to think of ways to get better. And he opens himself up and shares. And I love that about him.
How beneficial, and you've talked about this before, is it, though, to have guys like Dansby and others that, you know, have come through there and gone on to the majors, you know, and had such great careers? You know, Kyle Wright, we've had him on a few weeks ago and talked to him, but that they can come back and they can speak to your kids now and, you know, not necessarily about, hey, this is what you got to do to make it to the bigs, but just talk ball and simplify things. How much does that help you from a coaching aspect?
It's great. It's all like automatic street cred. You know, they come in here and it's like a library of information, and we have a lot of kids on the field. They've left now, but, you know, you look down here on at this time right now in January, and it's kind of a who's who of major league players. And I think that's the cool part. You know, if Sonny Gray's throwing a bullpen, then, you know, most of our staff is down there watching him. You know, if they have class, they don't, but they make sure that they see him. But it's still funny, though, how even when Dansby played here, you know, when Pedro Alvarez would come back, there was some hesitancy for Dansby just to go up and talk to him and ask him a question. He would. Well, you find that today, too, because Dansby's here, and, you know, there was a young man. He said, do you think Dansby would mind if I'd ask him a question? And I said, hell no. He's a human being. He bleeds like you. He puts his clothes on just like you, too. I said, he's one of us. I said, just go up to him and treat him like, you know, he's one of your teammates, because he is. He's just older. He just left. So it's funny how that still works. But They do have, they could say anything and it wouldn't matter. Those kids, they look at that as gospel and it sticks to them. And I appreciate that.
I don't know if you remember this or not, Coach, but every time, you know, Sonny Gray's name comes up, I always think about me and you in Clarksville, 2007.
Yeah. Watching
Sonny pitch that night, and we were there for about an hour and a half or so, and just, you know, I think they lost the game 1-0, but Sonny was just amazing that time, and you know, that was 17. We've been best friends for 17 years, Coach.
Joe, I'll never forget that, Joe. That memory sticks to me because it was Reed Harper Ryan Harper versus Sonny Gray, and they just went back and forth and. They both pitchers were striking out everyone, but I remember we were on the first base side.
Yep.
And watching that game. That was one of the best pitch games I have seen in the state of Tennessee. But yeah, you got a great memory. That was a special moment. But Sonny created a lot of those moments in high school too. I know you followed him in football, and that I remember going over to our football staff back then because I so bad wanted Sonny here, and I said, would you guys consider recruiting Sonny Gray in football? And I remember the offensive coordinator looking at me and he said, yep, I would. He goes, my only hesitancy is this. And he puts up two fingers, his thumb and his finger, just to show me 2 inches. And he said, that's the difference right there. He wasn't big enough. And I thought, geez, you know, say that to Doug Flutie, say that to Johnny Manziel,
right.
You know, say that to the Russell Wilsons in college. Those guys have a way of winning, and Sonny certainly did. But he was all ours, and I guess that was a good thing.
And we've talked about this before, and down memory lane, 2009 in the regions up in Louisville when Indiana loaded the bases with zero outs, and Sonny got out of this, like the third or fourth inning, and got out of that. And we're like, all right, he's got it. He's something special right here.
I remember that too. That was unbelievable, and we ended up, you know, winning that game. But that's the type of things he did that here against Tennessee. His junior year, same thing. Bases loaded. It was early in the game. I think it was the second inning, and he got out of it. He's just got a way about him of kind of those magic moments right there. And even when he wasn't pitching, you know, he was always in the dugout and he was always chirping me. And because if we get a runner on in second inning, or I mean on second base late in the game, he'd always have his cleats on. He'd go, Corbs, he goes, I'm going to run for him. And every time I put him in there to pinch run, he always end up scoring. So he had that kind of magic thing with going on with him.
Oh, that's so good. Well, Corbs, it's good to talk to you. We're definitely going to be doing this a lot throughout the season. Okay. Good luck this weekend against Gonzaga, and thanks so much for doing this today.
Okay. Chase, Joe, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt baseball coach, joining us here on the program. And, yes, we will be talking to him quite a bit as now Vanderbilt baseball is on our airwaves. And, you know, I do want to make sure people understand this with – so much going on at one time, Preds, Vandy basketball,
right.
Women's basketball, baseball. They do tend to rotate around a little bit.
Sure.
Tomorrow, the game number one of that series will be on 94.9 The Fan starting at 4:15. On Saturday, also on 94.9 The Fan at 1:45. And then Sunday afternoon, right here on 102.5 The Game starting at 12:45 against Gonzaga. So it does get a little confusing, but, you know, we have several stations, several options, but we are the home of the Commodores. So
well done. Two things. We're going to revisit our question. All the response is great. We want to hear who your favorite play-by-play announcer is, because today's the 44th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. So what is your favorite call of all time? Does not have to be from the same announcer. It could be completely different. It doesn't matter. We want to hear that. Plus, come back. I got an interesting stat for you, Chase McCabe, on Tim Corbin that you might not know.
Ooh.
That you might be able to drop at a party and have people like, this Chase McCabe knows what he's talking about.
Well, if cell phones are working today, I'd call some people and tell them. But apparently they're having
not.
Some trouble. So
damn it.
We'll do that coming up next. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.